The essential thing about this administration is it draws to a close a period of American history that began with Ronald Reagan's ascent to office, in which hardcore conservative principles that had been raised in the first place by Barry Goldwater and then by philosophers like Russell Kirk would actually be put to the test of government, in particular whether or not you could grow the economy even though you cut taxes, or whether you had to cut taxes in order to grow the economy, whether you could shrink the government. And thirdly, very importantly, whether or not America had some sort of superior mission in the world to spread democracy, both for her own security and also for the general happiness and good of the rest of the world. All those issues were variously put to the test in the years that followed. They were interrupted by the Clinton years. They were interrupted by occasionally insecure control of Congress. But it was in the first 6 years, because in 2006, the Bush administration lost control of Congress. But in those first 6 years, ultimately that conservatism was put to the test. And those who are not sympathetic to it will say, as Barack Obama has been saying, this is where it's got us.
Do you believe that this conservative ideology has been successful on any level?
No, is the short answer to that. I suppose unless, you know, as a conservative, you're really committed to the notion of shrinking government, so that you would want, for example, to roll back environmental protection and make sure that business in its own self-interest would take care of that. But the bitter irony, I suppose, for the conservatives is that they've been forced to do, by historical circumstance, things which go against their nature and against the grain. It's under, just recently, admittedly, in a very extreme situation, it's under Bush that the banks have been nationalized, and this gigantic, gigantic shift from private to the public sector in finance has taken place. Time and time again, the Bush government has been forced to do things which involve it in government rather than make it contract the government, whether or not discovering that you really did need to build, to nation build in Iraq, or whether you really did need to make sure there was an effective government in place after a catastrophe like Hurricane Katrina. So what's extraordinarily weird about this campaign is to see the nostrums of this failed conservatism being given second life in the rhetoric of the Republican campaign, even as they've crumbled for the moment without much hope of being repaired in political reality.
Your piece in today's Guardian is a first writing of history. Given time, could we look upon the Bush administration more positively?
Probably not. I think certainly what I think the figure of the president himself might be modified. The real issue, I think, as historians come to look at it, is how much he was calling the shots. He'd like to call himself the decider. There's a current view that the deciding was very much done by Dick Cheney, and in the earlier period of the administration, people like Donald Rumsfeld and John Ashcroft. That's probably a little unfair to George Bush. I think he did make decisions, so for good or ill. Certainly the sense in which he has never been a racist, that certainly can be said of him, that his immigration policy was genuinely meant to find a way for illegal immigrants to become, in the fullness of time, citizens, not even the fullness of time, a proper path to citizenship. He's been exemplary and much more adventurous than Democratic administrations in delivering colossal aid to the AIDS-stricken countries of Africa. There are certainly good things to say about him and some of the initiatives. But it's also might be possible in the fullness of time to say that no one could quite have predicted the sort of meltdown that's most recently happened, although there have been figures who've been predicted exactly such a thing. When the last barriers were removed, not on Bush's watch, but in 1999, in the waning days of the Clinton administration, the last barriers got removed from the kind of business that commercial banks could do in the securities trade, which has led to the hell of derivative meltdown and disaster. So I think maybe one couldn't predict a perfect storm, but no president really ought to go into office on a kind of sunny Jim Pollyanna basis, assuming that all was going to be for the best of the best possible worlds, even if it was extraordinary to have been hit with 9/11. Time and time again, George Bush has said we couldn't have known this. He said it about 9/11, when the fact was that there were all sorts of intelligence, all sorts of materials coming through from Chatter suggesting that exactly such a catastrophic attack might take place. He said that no one would have predicted Katrina, when the documentary account is of people over and over again around St. Louis, around New Orleans, saying that the levees were going to be under stress from even a moderate, much less a very fierce hurricane storm. I think the sort of central, you know, tragedy of administration will be seen to be is that actually the world wasn't the right place in which to consummate the kind of optimistic minimum administration put in place by Ronald Reagan, that we could have a kind of low-tax, low-service world, and the economy would do its own thing. What the economy did when it was doing its own thing was to create massively greater income inequality than has ever been seen before in the United States. And whoever is the president come this coming Thursday will now have to manage a very ugly and painful situation in which those inequalities of income will be particularly bitter and potentially socially incendiary in a deep recession. So I actually don't think history is going to be a lot more charitable than I am currently being to this particular period of government.